I'll keep him and your family and his family in prayer. Amen. Those of you who know grief, it ain't just about being there for that time of that week or two, but you need prayer afterwards because grief hits you hard in different moments. Amen. And that's for anybody. All right, just keep each other in your prayers. You don't know that when you're praying for somebody, they can feel it, even though they don't know where it's coming from. They can feel that strength. Amen. All right, now Matthew 21. Let's start here. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Say, "I will receive." Amen. I want to talk to you from the subject this morning. It's time to produce. It's time to produce. All right, so let me lay a foundation for you so that you can understand the rest of this message, okay? First things first, let me start off by saying this. When I talk about produce or production and all of that type of stuff, am I telling you that you are supposed to be a performer before God? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. By me telling you to produce, am I telling you that that is a prerequisite of your salvation? No, I'm not telling you that. No. So first things first, you have to understand that works are not a prerequisite for salvation or to keep your salvation. All right? Isaiah 64 verse 6 will let us know that your works are part of the grace of the grace and mercy of God are like filthy rags. That your own righteousness can do nothing in front of a holy God. Because as the Psalms would tell us, that we were all born and shaped into iniquity. All right? And so that our righteousness upon our own self is not enough. We saw that all throughout the Old Testament. You know what the Old Testament does? It tells us of our need of a Savior, the Messiah. Because we cannot get it right apart from God. God gave us a law. That law wasn't good enough. All right? And so because of that, it wasn't that the law was error, it was that we were erred. His law is perfect. It was erred only because we as sinful man could not live up to it. We couldn't. And it was not meant to be a permanent thing. It was only meant to be temporary. So when the Savior comes, the Messiah in the person of Jesus, what he would do is fulfill what the law commanded because we couldn't do it in our own strength. All right? That's a blessing. You know why that's a blessing? Because you and I would still be chasing down goats. We would still be having to make blood sacrifices. And I don't know about you, that gets tiring. Come on. That wasn't sufficient for Lord. And I'm glad he came up with another way. Yeah. Amen. Because I wouldn't be out there. Say, "Lord, just take me now." So not only, ladies and gentlemen, so works are not a prerequisite. It is not a prerequisite for your salvation. So a lot of people think, "I got to work to be saved. No, you just got to believe to be saved." All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And all this going to make sense in a minute. It says this: God saved you by his grace when you what? And you can't take credit for this. It is the what? Gift from who? God. So let's stop right here. You are saved by what? Grace. So let's all put it out there. Say, I am saved by grace. I can't take credit for this because I didn't die on no cross. I wasn't pierced in nobody's hands. It's only from the gift of God that I have this grace. So I'm not working for my salvation. No. Because here we're having certain denominational thoughts and all of that is that we want to continue to perpetuate that it's works, it's works, it's works. No matter how hard you work, as the Old Testament showed us through the various men and women we saw there, it still is not enough. Because we need the blood of Jesus Christ. We need that redemption for our sins. Because it is not enough on our own. So we are saved by grace. Verse 9 tells us that salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So let's stop right there. That means salvation is not a reward because I was a goody two shoes this week. You get what I'm saying? Salvation is not a reward to us because you did good for a day. It would be like this, that today I receive salvation, the next day I lose it because I sinned the whole day. Huh? All it takes is one thought. All it takes is one moment. Bam, my salvation's gone. It don't work like that. If it worked like that, then his blood is not enough. If it's so easy for me to lose my salvation, why be saved in the first place? Why do I need it if his blood is not sufficient? Because guess what? I am subjected to this sinful nature of mine. While I'm saved, I still got to deal with the constant battle between my flesh and my spirit. You get what I'm saying? So some people's like, Beth, I just gave my life to Christ. Why am I dealing with this? Because now your spirit is awakened to the fact that there's a flesh now. You have a God conscious in you now that you are aware of what opposes God. So the reason how you know you saved is because you always got opposition between what you want to do versus what the spirit wants to do through you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's a constant battle. It's a constant war. You are going to be having this until the day God calls you home or you're raptured. All right? And so when you are aware of this, why? Because before, well, Pastor, I didn't go through this before I was saved. Newsflash, you wouldn't have. The flesh didn't have nothing to oppose it. When the Spirit of God is in you, now the Spirit is going to oppose which is not of God. So, of course, you are going to have the battle. Newsflash, that means you are his. If you didn't have your flesh in opposition, I don't know. I don't know if you got that seal of approval. The Holy Spirit seals you until the day of redemption. And that's if he ain't in you, then I don't know for you. But there's still room while you still got breath. The old folk used to say, come while the air is still. You know, while the breath is still in your body and the blood is still running through your veins. And so as I continue to go, so not only that, because I got to keep on moving. Verse 10 says this, and it gets to me to my second thing I want to give you is, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So number one, works are not a prerequisite for salvation. However, works are the byproduct of a regenerated life. Now, either you're working for working evil works or you're working good works, which is of God. Amen. And what do I mean by that? Well, I ain't no witch. I ain't all of this stuff like, well, that's not what we're talking about. That means about fulfilling your own desires of your own flesh. All right. So what does that mean? It means is this. Before Christ, you were working works, but they were not works of righteousness. All right. You were doing what is right in your own eyes. Why? Because you had nothing to oppose or make you aware that this was wrong. So beforehand, you didn't mind getting, you know, you didn't mind the turn up. You didn't mind living the life, you know, promiscuous and all that stuff. You didn't mind. There was nothing to oppose you. You didn't know that, you didn't think it was wrong, you know what I'm saying, to step out and, you know, do what you needed to do before marriage and wait. No, you didn't wait. That's okay. That's all right. Nobody's shaming you. You didn't know. Come on. Or you didn't know and you didn't care because you didn't have the spirit in you. It was just too daggone good. Amen. Say, Rev, you just don't know, Rev. You just don't know the spirit. I didn't have the spirit to make me willing, but my flesh was weak. I guess you, WV, SUV. What's they are? SWV? Yeah. I would say SUV. I was like, wait a second. Woo. Thinking about getting a new car. Amen. Woo. like, all right, get back. Here we go. And so here we go. It is a byproduct or offspring of the fruit that is produced to a surrendered believer saved by grace. What is the fruit that is produced now in a believer that's regenerated? Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23 says this, but the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives of what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Here we go, verse 23, and it says, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. So this is what it produces, gentleness, self-control. I can have a spirit of self-control. I don't have to be out of control now because the flesh only wants what it wants. When it sees what it sees, it's going to get it. Don't care about the danger in sight. Don't care about what's around. They just want to get what you want. But the Spirit of God in us gives us self-control. And so why am I making this plain to us? Because you have to understand this in order for you to understand the lesson that Jesus teaches us here in Matthew 21. The lesson that Jesus teaches us here in Matthew 21, I want to introduce you and talk to you from about a fig tree this morning. And this message called, It's Time to Produce. The fig tree is what we put our attention on this morning. We're going to talk about a fig tree. First things first, before you go there, Deb, I want to make this plain. So Jesus has just entered. This is a full-blown fig tree. But take them, show them the first picture first, the very first one. Keep that on there for a second. And so Jesus has entered in. It is his triumph. He made a triumphant entry into Jerusalem, right? And so now he, after that, he goes into the synagogue and he purges and he cleanses it because he was tired of people looking the part and not being it. He was tired of them desecrating the temple. He was tired of them making a mockery of what was going on in the house of God. And because of that, he started flipping tables. He said, listen, this is the house of God should be a house of prayer. He was tired of them taking what Jesus was tired of them doing, was taking advantage of the less fortunate, taking an advantage. That's almost like handing out free miracles. Hey, if you buy this such and such a water, you're going to get this such and such a healing. You know what I'm talking about. He was tired of them. He was tired of folk. You're in there. You got the look that you saved. But yet we know you screwing around on your wife. There's something wrong there. He's tired of them. The same thing people got problem with the church Jesus did too. Because it didn't look like him. You had the letter of the word. You had all of that stuff. But it wasn't doing nothing in you. So he flipping tables. So after leaving a friend's house in Bethany, what he does is he's hungry. The Bible says that he is hungry. He wants some food. In Palestine, ladies and gentlemen, fig trees were a big thing. Fig trees were a big thing. You could easily get some food just looking at a fig tree. And here's the thing about a fig tree, ladies and gentlemen, that a fig tree is mentioned as one of the valuable products of Palestine. It was a sign of peace and prosperity. Figs were medicinally and pressed together and formed into cakes as articles of diet. It was good to help you in your diet. All right. That's what it helped you in. But here's what I want to focus on. So it is a sign, right, of prosperity. But the reality of it matter is that this particular fig tree this day didn't look prosperous. This particular fig tree looked like this one, but not. And I'm explaining to you in a second. In my research, what I figured out about a fig tree, ladies and gentlemen, and the reason why Jesus used this as a lesson to teach his disciples is this, is that he saw a fig tree with leaves but had no fruit. Why is this essential? Because if you understand a fig tree, you understand that the leaves never grow first on a fig tree. It starts with the fruit. On this picture right here, do you see any leaves? No, you see it coming into blossoming. But the leaves are not the sign that the fig tree is fruitful. Because leaves are really, really what happens is they are the byproduct to cover the figs. And so as you see in this picture, you see the figs growing on the tree, but you see no leaves. But what Jesus saw was leaves, but no figs. So he curses this tree to teach a lesson, because this is what he saw in the temple just the other day. People who look like they're fruitful, but they have no fruit. People who talk a good game, but their lives, if we look at their lives don't look nothing like what they got on. What they're trying to perpetuate to others is not really what's happening inside. That's it. You look leafy, but you have no fruit. You're supposed to be producing, but we see leaves. But if we move that leaf over, there ain't nothing there. No sustenance. The problem is that we got a lot of people who are living with no sustenance. There's no fruit of their conversion. There's no byproduct. You are a professing believer, but when we look and pull that leaf over, there ain't no fruit. What I'm giving this to TCF is, don't let nobody pull us over and then they don't see no sustenance. There's no fruit with our conversion. There's no fruit with our salvation. Our salvation should show that, hey, man, they're more patient than what they used to be. They express more love than what they used to be. They used to be cold, but now they loving, they hugging and all that stuff. There got to be some fruit. There should be something in your transformation that points to that Jesus is what done this in my life. But if I can look at the fig tree and I only see leaves, what does that do? That's false advertising. A lot of people are out here false advertising. Advertising that they got the Holy Spirit in them, but they really don't. That's why when people got a problem, that is really the real hypocrisy. Deb, show them the next picture. The leaf and the fig. The leaf shows up after you see that fig. Now, I have to put this more in context, right? So again, Matthew and Mark shows us this account with this fig tree. However, Mark puts it in more chronological order. Matthew don't care about all the big parts. So then that's when they see, I told you, there's contradictions in the word. No, it's not. Because it's almost like this. You put everybody around the same crime scene and how it happened, everybody's going to tell you. They're going to tell you the whole thing is still going to add up, but the way that they saw it is different. You get what I'm saying? So Mark tells us that the fig tree, they weren't in full bloom. But because of where it was because of that climate, though it was not in full bloom, it was in bloom enough where the fruit would have been edible to eat when he was hungry. Meaning, ladies and gentlemen, what does that mean? That though it's in enough bloom that, guess what, that I should see some byproduct of the salvation. Though you're never going to fully have it, it's not that I'm telling you, you're going to get saved and automatically you're going to start producing this. But I'm telling you, after a while, when you really surrender to Jesus, after a while, you should be in season enough, because you're under the word, where the word is doing such a work in your life that now you're starting to see some changes. And that change starts in your mind. The way you think ought to be transformed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He didn't say by the renewing of your heart, because he knows that this is what the Lord knows, that if your mind get renewed, your heart is going to get renewed. So you hearing what I'm saying? So here's the problem. Let's go to, I'm going to take this off. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Here's what Paul makes a mention to. He makes a mention to that they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. So what we have is, ladies and gentlemen, people who want to look godly, but they are not godly. They are rejecting the power to make them godly, rejecting the power of the Holy Spirit to make them godly. Rejecting the power of God that would make them godly. I don't want the appearance to be godly. I need you to be, I need the filling of the Holy Spirit to make me godly. I don't need the appearance. When I was on the dating scene for a brief period of time, amen, one of my things is I don't need a woman who look like they got the Holy Spirit. Looks don't help. Because I'm in this position, I need somebody who can pray. I need somebody who actually shows a life that they are full of the Holy Spirit. Because you have people, they can tell you, I go to church. Who cares? Devils go to church. Who cares? That don't mean nothing. Oh, my grandmother took me here. I don't care if your grandmother took you here. That was a nice, noble thing. But did he get inside you? Do you got the Holy Ghost? Are you filled with him, with the mighty burning fire? Huh? Because if you are not godly, how are you going to promote godliness in this home? It's not possible. It's not possible. And let me tell you something. You need to be first of things first. That needs to be the first thing. We just got out of relationship month and y'all had y'all singles night. But the first thing first, you need to make sure is where are you at in your relationship with God and who is God to you? Because not everybody's God is equal. Many people think the universe is God. Who do you think God is and what's his name? Because he got a name. Oh, I love God. Well, who's your God? I don't know him. What you saying? I need to know. Yes, sir. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm saved. Well, how you know you're saved? I need to know how you are saved. Well, he was in my life all the time. You're wrong. He wasn't there all the time. You were a sinner and you didn't get saved. You needed Jesus to save you. Y'all think I'm playing. I'm serious. You need to know some assurances. You can't go off of no talk, because when you move that leaf over, you're going to see that they got anger problems, they schizophrenia, they got all this stuff going on with them. I got to get away. Don't wait too late to pull that leaf back. Don't get married and then you be like that girl on TikTok got 59 parts because they didn't pull that leaf back. Say, I hear you.
I'm trying to help you.
Don't be her. She didn't pull that leaf back. She saw leaves and thought that was enough. I need to see the figs. Where are they at?
Come on.
And you ask the right questions, then you need to see how it line up. Why? Because this is what Jesus is telling you. People reject the power. That's when you join in any church, you need to make sure that observe it for a second. Observe these people actually got the love of God in them. What they look like outside when you see them? Are they nervous trying to duck in the corner? Are they doing something wrong? I'm just telling you. Because here's the reality. The world is hungry. But what problem is this is what Jesus is showing us. The world is hungry. But when they see a fig, you supposed to represent the prosperity. You are supposed to represent the kingdom of God. And when they pull back them leaves, they don't see nothing. They didn't see that. They didn't see no fruit you had. They didn't see no sustenance. You telling me to come to church with you and you depressed as I am. And you don't see no hope in sight. If I don't see no hope in sight, why do I need to try your God? This is what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you that you're not going to have depressing moments. I'm not telling you that you ain't going to have moments with anxiety. But the way we deal with it needs to show the fruit of us being of a believer. Are you saying, I'm not telling you you're going to be stoic and that you're going to get thrown rocks and that life ain't going to take the breath out of your body. It will. I'm not telling you that you're going to feel, I'm with Jesus all the time. You're not going to feel like quoting scripture some days. You ain't going to feel like quoting some and praying and all that stuff. You want to hide in bed. You want to sleep. You want to eat your ice cream and go straight to bed. You're going to have days like that.
But in those days, there's a switch in a believer. That switch is in the mind. Say, wait a second. Let me wait a moment for a second. Wait a minute. I'm a child of God. Why am I feeling like this? He goes to be keeping me in perfect peace. I'm not letting him keep me in perfect peace the way I need to, because there's a switch that happens in every real believer. Wait a second. This ain't me. Have you ever been to a place and you got outside of the will of God and you were outside of it? But guess what? Something happened like that prodigal son. There was a switch that came in your, wait a second, I'm living among the pigs and slop. This ain't mine. This ain't for me. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in you. Are you hearing me? So quickly, so we can go. There's food waiting for me in the house. Listen, how do we produce fruit? I'm going to be producing some food. Amen. Amen. All right, listen here. Number one, we produce effectively only when we acknowledge that we cannot do so without Jesus. Here's the thing. God is not calling you to produce apart from him. He's calling you to produce with him. You, ladies and gentlemen, you and I, are partakers in the grace of God. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, we are in God's story. He's not in yours. I want to say this to you again. God is not in your story. You are in his. That means you play a part in his redemptive plan. He saved you not to just save you so you won't go to hell. He saved you because there's a sphere of influence you have that needs to also be saved. He saved you so the glory of God could be seen in you. It is not enough where you come here. See, you people think in their mind, you come to church on Sunday and, you know, you go and produce because you come to church on Sunday and you fulfilled your religious check for the day. That ain't producing. You ain't nothing but a leaf. No fig, no fruit there. We get here we come to church on Sunday for the gathering of uplifting one another and lifting up the name of Jesus and being poured into so we can be productive through the week. That's it. You get what I'm saying? We don't come here to check no religious box. We don't come here because you feel like you're doing a service to God. You do no service to God because you come here. If God don't have your heart, then he don't have nothing of yours. It doesn't matter. See, you think that people got it twisted in their mind that, you know, you come into church or you doing something that's doing a favor for God. None of the thing that you do for God is doing him a favor. I want you to know that. You're not doing any favors to God because he don't need nothing from you. He don't need anything from you. It's versus need versus want. He wants your heart, but if you don't want to give it, that's your problem, not his. That's your problem, not his. Because in getting your heart, then you get more of the benefit out of it than what he gonna get. It's almost like this, you in a relationship with I'm in a relationship with my wife. There's certain things like, what do you mean? That ain't doing no favor. That's just but what's being in a relationship. You know what I'm saying? That's what being in a joint married relationship is, a committed one. Oh, man, I gave you a hug today. I gave you a kiss today. That should count for something. No, that's what you do in a relationship. Then you don't get no favors for that. Oh, I took out the trash. That ain't no favor. That's for both of us. You get what I'm saying? There's no favors in that. That's stuff you do. That's what makes up a relationship. Oh, I took you out today. That should count for something. Newsflash, that's what we should be doing anyway. Are you getting what I'm telling you? So you're not doing no favor. But in order for you to produce effectively, you have to acknowledge that we cannot do so without Jesus. Here we go. John chapter 15. John 15 verse 5 says, yes, I am the vine. You are the what?
Branches.
You are the what?
Branches.
Those who do what?
Remain in me.
Come on, let me hear you.
Remain in
And I and what?
Am.
Will do what?
Produce much fruit.
For apart from me, you can
do nothing.
So apart from him, you can do nothing, but with him, you can produce much fruit. With him, you can do all things through Christ that what? Strengthens you. So you realize that my productivity is connected to my connectivity with Jesus. As I stay connected in him, the more I can produce. And see, you have to realize in the same chapter, Jesus says that even when the cutting is happening, it's helping you to produce more. None of us like to be pruned, but it's necessary in order for the branch to get out the things that's stopping its growth. And so as I stay connected with him, the more I am able to produce, because apart from him, I can do nothing. And so we think we're going to produce and we got our hands in all of this stuff, but yet it's not bringing or yielding the return. Why is it not yielding return? Because you're trying to do it in your own strength and you think that by doing it in your own eyes, this is what it's going to be. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? And so that's why you will look just with a leaf. Why? Because no fruit. Point two, we produce effectively when we are not consumers or hearers of the word, but also doers. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is really what's been really bothering me so much. We consume so much information. Technology, we're consuming podcasts, we're consuming all of this stuff, even in the field of choice that we want to be in, we consume all that information and we sit there and consume it just for us to do nothing. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time out to just be a consumer. Consumers are not producers. You have to realize there's a difference. Oh, I can consume the information, know the information, but wisdom is the ability to apply it. So if you can consume, but you don't have the wisdom to and the know-how to apply it, then it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, we can sit hours listening to a podcast. We can sit hours at work listening and seeing what's going on TikTok, telling you about this, and that, and all of this stuff like that. But what is going to take for you to apply it? You can hear so many words. We are getting so full and so fat off of information, but that information is not producing anything. And just like us, we can come on Sunday after Sunday. You can hear whoever you like to hear is who your Christian influencer are throughout the week, because I know you just don't listen to me. So I know that you're going to be listening to various different things, but if that don't move you to do nothing, it's not going to prosper you. Those who are wise knows how to use the information given and apply it. Because you are not only to be a hearer of the word, faith can be produced by hearing, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You can receive it in faith to hear, but faith is not something that is stagnant. Because like James says, faith without works are dead. You cannot say that you have faith and you have no works. Works and faith work hand in hand. They are not different. You get what I'm saying? You need the faith to produce, and I'll get to that in a second. James 1 verse 22 and 25 says this, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. Verse 22, for if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Because the word of God is a mirror. So you'll see it, and you forget, wow, I need more work to be done. It's almost like a woman who's trying to put on makeup. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, y'all know an incomplete face when you see one. You know what I'm talking about. Where's the blend? One side is darker, the other side's light. What's going on? Huh? That's what this word is saying. It's like you forgot to finish the face. You forgot where you came looking at. So you came out the house. One side's dark, one side's light. You came out the side, you push one eyebrow up, the other one is still down. That's what happens. That's what he's saying. You forgot what you look like. You didn't finish. You didn't make the adjustments. Somebody heard you. You heard that, hey, girl, your face is upside down. You didn't care. How dare she talk to me like that? Well, they're trying to help you out. That's how people sit in church. How dare he tell me I'm just a leaf? How dare you? That's why you get offended, because you don't want to hear what is really, you don't want to hear behind what I'm telling you. You can produce, but you need to connect to Jesus. You can't just be a hearer. You got to be a doer of it, or all you're going to be is a hating somebody on the phone. Wishing you was them. I could have had that opportunity if I didn't. Yeah, you could have, but you did nothing. Verse 25, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless what? You doing for it. For doing it. God will bless what he sanctions. He's not obligated to bless nothing that he has not sanctioned. So if you're doing the word of God, if you're putting it to practice, if you are applying it, the word says that you will be blessed for doing it. This is not us making this up. This ain't you putting out a fake blessing. No, you will be blessed as you are working the word. Well, the problem is that you don't work it long enough for it to do what it needs to do. Because if you don't see it happening immediately, you'll leave out of here and say, hey, pastor, you told me that if I do this, I told you that if you keep applying it by the word of God, you will see a blessing from it. God ain't your Santa Claus. He ain't your genie. He ain't no fairy. The tooth fairy going to put some money under your pocket. You got to do it and keep the word. And as you preserve in the word, you will see the blessing of God. There has been not one person that if you work the word and actually work it, that you won't see the benefit of it. How is it that 500 Fortune companies are doing more with the word than we as believers? How do I know this? They see it as, oh, it's just the charity. We give 10% of our things, and man, our company's been what? How is it that they taking advantage of it and we don't? Come on. It's the basic principle of sowing and reaping. Come on. They sow a lot and they reap a lot. And we looking at them like, man, they just making double. Why? It's the principle that's been working. Principle. And they don't care about no Jesus, no Bible, or nothing for some. It's just a principle. Principles are universal. It works for anybody. You get what I'm saying? If you put it to action. So if we're not putting it into action, then we're not going to see the favor of God. We're not going to see it move. If we're not obedient to the word, then all we're going to do is just let it just keep on going past and living without intentionality. You know what I'm getting tired of? People being so reckless. The reason why you're so reckless is because you're not taking the time to allow the word to take seed in your life, to take root in your life so that you can see it prosper for you. But what people are doing is doing what they think is right in their own eyes and thinking that that's going to cause a change in them. And all they're doing is being insane. Because to keep doing the same thing and doing it over and over again, thinking you're going to get a different result, that's insanity. That's it. And the reality is people live so with no purpose, no intentionality, don't even know the purpose of God over their lives because they're not taking the chance to read what it says about them. So you're reckless. It's not that you're intentionally reckless. Some people are not intentionally reckless. You just don't know. And what you don't know is a harm to you. You know why people perish? For the lack of knowledge. But here's what people are doing. You're getting knowledge, but you're not using it. And you're still perishing. Because to not do the word is for it never to take root in your life. Therefore, not seeing the blessing of God. So therefore, keep your hating self to yourself.
That's it.
You're going to be outside the club. You're not even in it. Why? Because you're just mad because it ain't working for you. Because you ain't really surrendered yourself to it. And then you got to check your motive behind it too. All right, let me keep moving. I got to go. Point three. Here we go. Reproduce effectively when we know that all we do is for the glory of God. That all we do is for the glory of God. Everything that you do, you can't see what you do as small in the eyes of God. So I'm not a preacher like you, and you're not, everybody ain't meant to be preachers. Not everybody's meant to do certain things. You may be better at business and all that stuff than I am. And guess what? Great. That's what we need you at. We need you in your sphere doing what needs to be done. Everything you do, it centers and evolves around the glory of God. You are not less valuable than somebody who's working in the church or working outside of the church. All of us need each other because we are in the story of God. We're on the right. I'm still this from my father. We're on the right side of his story. Are you hearing what I'm saying? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says this, and we're getting out of here. Food waits on me. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do it with the intention that this is giving glory to God. Let me ask you something. Can honestly say to yourself, are you doing what you're doing with all your might, knowing that it's going for the glory of God? Or are you just doing this because, oh, it's my paycheck, I'm going to the next place and all that stuff like that? Let me tell you something. When you work with excellence and do what you need, that puts you in other places and doors and all of that stuff like that. Because you know that, listen, as a believer, I should be the best. I should be the blessed. When I come into a place, I should be the best. I'm going to work as hard on it like I possibly can. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to use this analogy, and I'm going to use Anthony in my analogy. Listen, he goes on those auditions, yeah. Man, he's in the Dreamgirls going down at Bowie. So y'all check that out when those days come. But I'm making a point. When you go into those rooms for audition, you got to go in there with the mindset that it don't matter anybody else in here. I'm going to give this all I got. Because I know that when I give it all I got, it's not so much if I don't get the position or not. I just know that what I'm doing is pleasing God. What I'm doing is giving glory to God. You got to see that what you do gives glory to God. If you don't see what you do as giving glory to God, you got to see everything is spiritual. Everything is worship. So if social media and what you're doing there is giving glory to God because what you're doing in the content that you're producing, do that. If you are in real estate, if you're in devil, do it with all your might. Do it with everything you have. Because what is happening is they're getting a piece of heaven when they're getting exposed to you. What are we? We are pieces of heaven combined together that people are seeing. So when they see you and you're a believer, you better be integral with your business. I don't want to hear nobody, if somebody worked with somebody in TCF, I don't want to hear nothing about nobody was integral. Because that's not a good representation of the kingdom. When you do business, you do it right. With integrity. We don't even bring people in here that's going to talk to you if I feel like they're going to try to take advantage. I wouldn't even bring them in here. Why? Because you're not going to take advantage. There's a kingdom thing that we're about. There's a kingdom agenda that we're about. We're not just about ourselves. We're about the kingdom being edified and glorified. And if there's not being edified, then there's a problem. You get what I'm saying? When people ought to come in contact with us, they should feel that they can't identify that as God. They won't because they're sinners. They don't know, but they know it's something different about you because you're doing it with the glory of God. Amen. That is important. Now, lastly, as I come to a close, this is important. Point four is this. That it requires faith to be productive. Mark tells us this, and as I end, Mark tells us, because Matthew don't put it in chronological order, he puts it almost like it would give off like it happened all in the same day, and it didn't. But the next day when they see it wither, they marvel at out of his mouth that this tree withered. They was like, oh my gosh. And Jesus said, don't marvel over this. You can do greater things than this. If you got faith the size of a mother seed, you can tell that mountain. You can tell a mountain. He wasn't telling them like a figuratively that you. He tell metaphorically, you can move whatever mountain by the word of God in your mouth. Faith is what produces this type of productivity. When you see me do this, it's because I know my God.
I know.
When you see people, the Bible says, those who know their God shall do great exploits. The reason why you're not doing great exploits is because you may not know him that well. As you become more acquainted with God, as you grow in your relationship with God, what's going to happen is the greater productivity you will be. Because the Bible says the great exploits I can do because I know my God. And here's the reality is because what happens is that if I'm going to move to productivity, I need the faith and not the fear. At least when you're not going to speak to this fig tree like I did to it is because you're fearful that if you speak to it, it's not going to do what you tell it to do. You're scared because you don't believe that I can tell that mountain in my life to be moved. You get what I'm saying? It's because you have to have the faith. Your faith has to come up in order for you to produce. And guess what Jesus is saying? You don't even have to have the greatest amount of faith. The least amount of faith is enough to produce. A mustard seed is a tiny seed. He's saying the mustard seed, the gospel, is enough to help you produce. If that takes root in your life, that's what's going to happen. Here's what happened. Let me show you this. The first Adam went to the fig tree looking for leaves. The second Adam, Jesus, came looking for fruit. One was looking to be covered. One was looking to be covered. The other one was looking for their need to be met. Adam was trying to cover up in his shame. Adam was trying to play cover up. Jesus was coming to fill it. He didn't come with the faith to think that if I repent, then I could be covered. He thought that the leaves could cover him outside of God. And so many people think that the leaves are going to cover you. People can see past the leaves. I need the faith to produce. I need the faith. TCF, hear me. This is the year of exposure. It's the year for you to produce. It's the year for you to put something to the ground. It is the year for you to put seed in the ground. It is the year for you, as you do it, the more exposure you will see based upon how much seed you put out there. It's not a year where you're going to listen to another podcast and be like, that was so good. Yeah, so good. It did nothing for you if you don't put nothing on the ground. It is time, church, that we become together and serve and by faith believe that we could take this region, that we will take every wall. Why? And win souls for Christ. Because the time is growing dim. Time is winding down. Ladies and gentlemen, the world is growing more cold. But that does not mean that the power of God is not enough. People want us to believe that everything outside of the Bible is that the Bible's not sufficient enough, that Jesus is not sufficient enough. Look at you. If he was able to do it for you, surely he got to be sufficient enough. Are you hearing me? You have to have the faith and stop being in fear. Stop being stuck in your own little shadow. I don't want to be seen and all that stuff. Who cares? Get over yourself. It's not about you. It's about the glory of God. If it was about you, you wouldn't be producing in his story. It's not about you. Get over yourself. Put your feet to the ground. And even if you got to do it scared, knowing that God is with you. Do it. Do it with all your might. Get out of the mindset that, I'm not good enough. Get out of that grasshopper mindset. If God said you can have it, it's yours for the taking.
Oh, we grasshoppers. You ain't going to produce if you thinking you a grasshopper. You're not going to produce if you don't think that you're good enough. You got to realize it ain't you. It's the God in you that is going to help you to produce. And it's going to help you to get through any hurdle or valley you see in front of you. Encourage somebody in the Lord and say, it's time to produce. It's time to wake up. It's time to put it to the ground. It's time to put your pen on the paper and start working the plan of God. It's time to seek the face of God. It's time to come up, because if you have the faith just this size, you can produce great things. Let me tell you something. Small things, great things started out as small things. It starts as a small seed. And so if you see yourself as insignificant, you're not going to see how that insignificant seed, the mustard seed, that you, how in the world does a big tree come out of this thing? Because the greatest things start from small seeds.
Ladies and gentlemen, and where do they go first? They go in the dark. You mad right now because you're growing in the dark? That's okay. This is the year of exposure. Because the little sprouting. The fig tree was in season enough where I could see a little fruit. And I see the little sproutings of fruit just coming out. Hallelujah. Why? I see their sproutings coming out in you. Why? Just a little seed. All I need is a little to produce much. And the more seeds I throw out there, the more I throw out there. Water it. Can't put too much water on it. Needs enough sunlight. Because it's growing in the dark. I'm producing, but you don't see, it hasn't came to the ground yet, but you don't know what I'm doing in the dark. See, TCF, in the first 5-6 years of the church, it was just growing in the dark. Didn't see it numerically yet, but we just growing in the dark. Roots getting stronger and stronger. Because guess what? Production don't start in the eye first. Production happens under the dark. Because as it's growing in the dark and as it's producing, then you're going to see it sprout up, ladies and gentlemen. It was like this. I told this to somebody in counseling the other day, is that you don't understand that when you produce a foundation, you can't build on it right away. I'm coming to a close. Stand to your feet. When you build new construction and you put concrete down first, you got to give it time to set. Because if it goes on there too soon, your house going to be in trouble. Don't get frustrated when you're asking God, build on me, build on me. You have to have the faith to know that he is building, because he's letting you settle. As you settle, you'll start seeing that God start adding the lumber on the top of the foundation. You'll start seeing it produce even more. I remember when mom and dad was building their house, and we would drive almost every day. I don't think it was a day that we came over, that we didn't sit over there or just went over there. We went over there. We didn't care. We wanted to see. Right? And we just kept seeing the lot sign. We're like, when are they going to build on it? What y'all doing? Come on, come on. We paid this money. Let's hit that ground break. Come on. Come on. And they ain't care. They're doing was to sit with that lot sign waiting on there. Lot 64. Right on there. Then one day we saw them. Oh man, they done laid the foundation. We excited. Took pictures next to the concrete. No house was built, but we took pictures of that foundation. And you know that's my mom. She's infamous for that. Come on, let's stand and smile. She gonna get her pictures. But we start noticing, y'all, there was no work being done after that. We would think because the concrete was there, y'all gonna start building on the house. So we went the next day. We went in there. Oh man, we know they about to start. Nothing. And it felt like 3 months they did nothing. And we was like, what is going on here? When y'all gonna start doing something? And after a certain amount of time elapsed, y'all been paid. Where's the building? After time elapsed, one Saturday, we go over there, and almost they have almost the first floor already done. I said, what was this all about? And so I started researching. It's because you have to give time for the concrete to set in the ground. Listen, you don't understand that sometimes you're producing while God is letting you set. Sometimes you got to be settled first so then I can build more on you. Because if you're not settled, that ground is not, you don't have a firm enough foundation yet to build. The faith requires you to know that I'm producing something and knowing the seasons in which God needs to settle me so that I can produce more. And you cannot get upset with that. I was telling Pastor Dom, I said the other day, I wouldn't want to go through that whole season yet again. It was almost felt like insanity. It was a psychological warfare of the mind to show up and not see anything. But in all of that is like, listen here. The other Saturday, the Lord came to me at Reese. I can't build on something that ain't firm yet. I needed you to become as firm as possible. Now you're firm where you pastor pastors. Now you're firm that you about to knock down a wall. Now you firm that you got people in front of you that you can lead because you've been through the fire. And whatever has not been tested cannot be trusted. So if it's a fig tree, it better produce a fig tree. Don't look like it and not be it. Don't put on the talk like you are and it's not. Because you will be exposed. You will be found out. You'll be like Peter. Hey, ain't you that disciple? Yeah, you him. That's it. Oh, no, I'm not. You at a particular place and you know you shouldn't be there. Oh, hey, ain't you that person on over there? Why? Because you will be found out. Because that ain't the environment for you anymore. You're in a bigger plane now. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? So, my thing about it is, it's time to produce. We got things to do. You got things to do. Let's take this and move. We are not a church that believes in just hearing the word and getting filled up with our little emotions. Emotions mean nothing if it ain't producing anything. It's time to produce. If you don't know Jesus, I give you the opportunity to know him today. It is as simple as this. He is the one and only true God. There is no other way to the Father other than through Jesus. I give you him today. And all you have to do is believe. That's the first part of producing. You got to give your life to Jesus. Apart from him, you can do nothing. He's the true vine, and if you connect with him, you'll bear much fruit today. But you got to believe he died, he was buried, and he rose again just for you so that you can have peace with God. Today, you don't have to have enmity with God no longer. You can have peace with God. It's already been settled over 2,000 years ago. Receive it today. Receive it today. You say, hey, I've been passed out and drifted away from God. I'm saved. I know Jesus is God. I know all of that. But listen, I drifted away. You can rededicate your life back to Christ and say, today I'm rededicating. I'm not moving away from him. I'm rededicating my life back to Christ today. Amen. 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 If you need a church home, I'm giving you the chance to be a part of this church home. It's time for us to produce together. Amen. Amen. If you need a church home, I want you to connect with us today. Connect with us today. You know you look so good. That's what freedom looks like on you. That's what joy looks like on you. Not another day of bondage today. Y'all give it up for Queen. What Jesus can do in a person's life. Y'all give it up. If you need a church home, I want to be your pastor. I want to cover you. If that's you, join me down to this altar right now. Let's make it official. It's time to produce. Don't y'all be afraid to come down. Today, make the move to say, listen, I am becoming part of this church family officially. Amen. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I acknowledge I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Today, I acknowledge you died on the cross. You were buried, and you rose again just for me. In Jesus' name. Today, I want to bring you in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, I want you to queen go with Pastor Mike. He's going to explain to you the next steps of salvation. I need Mama Hill, if you can go with Pastor Mike in the back with Queen today. Amen. Give God praise. Come on, a soul has came to Jesus today. Amen. Amen. If you're glad about it, come on, make some noise. Another one came out of the grips of hell.